It's good to see everybody out this evening. It's always wonderful to be able to gather together and come out to study God's Word. It's the opportunity He's been blessed to us to do so, to come here and to study with each other and to uplift and encourage one another while having also the opportunity to praise God, to give Him the thanks and glory that He deserves, and to keep His commandments, of course, as He has commanded us to do so, to gather together and to uplift one another, remembering the sacrifice that the Lord has blessed us with. We make decisions each and every day that we live our lives upon this earth, and choosing which path to take, choosing where to go, choosing how it is we want to live our lives. And sometimes the way we make our choices is deciding whether it's an easier choice or a more difficult thing at hand, an easy task or a difficult task, which we are pointed at. And sometimes we just simply choose the easier path because, plain and simple, it's easy. It's easier to do, it's easier to take, not as much work, not as much effort, we don't have to put a lot of thought into it. So therefore, we choose the easy path. And that's going to be the title of the lesson this morning, is the easy path or the difficult path. And which path, which task, which way of the road do you want to take? And, of course, we're going to be looking at this in the spiritual matter. And, of course, this comes from Matthew chapter 7. If you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And I encourage that all open up their Bibles and follow along as we go throughout the lesson. See, it is the Word of God that we use to teach and to instruct us as we go through our lives here. And if anything is said or done, that question, that you bring that to our attention, we'll be happy to study with that, or if something that you feel is misspoken, we'd be willing to talk about that also. So here in Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 13 it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So tonight's lesson's got simply 2 points. It's got the easy path, and it's still got the difficult path. Two points that we're going to be bringing out tonight throughout the lesson, a shorter lesson in that point. But it's a point that we need to consider when we're choosing our decisions each day and really thinking about the impact spiritually on us and spiritually on one another, and whether or not we need to take that difficult path or the easy path. And so the first point we're going to be looking at is the easy path. As we brought out here in Matthew 7, verse 13, it said there is a broad and easy path. It is broad and there are many, it says. Many who go by it. And so this path seems right, is what I want to get to here. It is the point that there are many who think that the easy path is the right path to take. And many get caught up in believing this idea because, you know, so many people are taking it. Because the majority are going down this path, and it seems like if everybody else is doing it, then why shouldn't we be going that way also? And that's what makes it a little easy, because so many people are doing it. Because so many people are doing it, therefore it's easier to find, it's easier to see, and it's easier to understand, because there's so many others that you can watch and learn from. So therefore, it seems like the right path. But what we read here in Matthew 7 is that it leads to destruction. This easier path, this broad path that is so easy to stay on, that you're not going to stray off, you're not going to fall off unless you choose to get off, leads to destruction. The part is that they can't see where this easy path is taking. They can't see how far it goes and where it ends up. And it ends up with destruction. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, if you will. Proverbs chapter 14. And you read along with me there and in verse 12. Proverbs 14 and in verse 12. It says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Once again, here bringing out the point that it's not in the way of men to direct their own steps. It's not in us to choose the right path to get to heaven. That path has already been written. That path is already there. We can't change it. It's your choice to choose to get on that path. It's your choice if you want to choose to follow the path that Christ has set for us. But
But we don't get to make a new plan. We don't get to say, well, I think this way is better. And think that it's truly going to get us to heaven. It says there's ways that seems right. It just seems like this path leads to a good place. Once again, you get that mindset, well, you know, there's so many people doing it. There's so many going down in this faith. There's so many people that follow this religion. There's so many others who are doing it. And it just seems right. And there's a lot of things where we can get in topics and study and why we don't have certain things for our worship. Why we don't have certain things here as we gather together to worship the Lord. And it comes simply because there's no authority. It's not that the task in itself is evil. Not that the task in itself is something that is just profound and who could think of such a thing. So it seems right. It seems like, oh, it would help out. It could do some good. But the end, once again, the end leads to destruction. The end is death. Therefore, we have to choose the path that God has set us. Choose to follow the way that He has set forth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you turn along with me there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, you read along with me starting in verse 3. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 says, for the time will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn theirs away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Once again, the reason they've chosen this other path is because they don't want to hear the truth. Because they've decided to look for their own way. Once again, the way of men is not in itself to direct his own steps. There's a way that seems right because that's what we want to see. Talked about a bit about it last week, talking about our decisions and our desires. What we desire to do. And that's how we get caught up in sin, is because we desire to go off in this other path. They are looking for someone to teach that it's okay to lie. To tell a little white lie so that they don't hurt someone's feelings. That it's okay to be a drunk. That it's okay to live in a sexually immoral life. They look for someone who's going to teach it, and yet they find these teachers also. They're going to find someone who will say, it's okay. God is okay with you doing it. And therefore, they continue in this path that leads to destruction. And Paul writes to Timothy about this. He's warning him of this. He's warning of him and telling him to keep his eye open. And he says in verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure the affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He was supposed to keep an eye out for these things, be ready, be on guard, try to keep the brethren from falling down this path of looking to others, looking to false teachers, or willing to accept sin. This is the easy path because it accepts. And that's what makes it easy. It accepts what we are doing and wrong. It doesn't tell you you have to repent. It doesn't tell you you have to turn away. As long as you send in your contribution, as long as you show up occasionally on a Sunday here and there, then it's all good. Therefore, it makes our life easier because then we don't have to change anything. Then we don't have to push off our desires and put it behind us and repent of them and strive to follow and keep God's commandments. Then we don't have to make sure we're here every Sunday. See, they look for teachers who say that these things are okay. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In Judges chapter 17, and in the book of Judges, once again, I know throughout all the Old Testament, it seems like Israel is so back and forth. They're following God at one moment, the next moment they're not, and they continuously fall back into sin. But here's one of the reasons that they got caught up in sin at this time and point. In Judges 17, number 6, it says here, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So if in your eyes it seems good to go and take from your neighbor, then you just went ahead and did it. And if in your neighbor's eyes it was okay to do even worse harm, you just went ahead and did it. It just everybody. everybody did what they thought themselves was okay. They went down their own path. They went on down doing their own thing instead of following the commandments of God. Rather than looking to the path that God has set them. Even though they didn't have a king here, we know that the law of Moses has already been given to them. We know that they had a set in order of that the priest should be setting up and standing up and leading them and teaching these things. They had commandments that they needed to be teaching to their children that they should have been following. But yet here, just because they made the excuse that there's no king set aside of us, there's no one there to lead us, and we know that this was the complaint of Israel. They wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted to have a king, and eventually they set up one, and that doesn't do them good either. Because eventually they end up dividing the kingdom and continue to fall down the wrong path. Because they continue to want to be like everybody else. They continue to look at the easy path that everybody else was doing. Instead of keeping the commandments of God. In Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, once again, we're talking about this easy path because it looks, because the way it looks, that's what makes it so appealing to us. You look at the first sin, you look at what Eve's thoughts were when she had committed this first sin. Genesis 3 in verse 6, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." But look at what it brings out here. And of course, she had been deceived. She had been lied to by the serpent. But it comes out, it says, she saw that it was good. She saw that it was good for food. She saw that it was appealing. She saw that it was good to make her wise. All the different things that it promised. I can be like God. Well, I can continue in these things. I don't have to go and wander through these other trees to gather out the other fruit. I don't have to travel as far. Plus, it looks so much better than all the rest of me. It just all appealed and looked like the easier thing to do is to go ahead and just pluck it off me. And once again, the wages of sin is death. That was what was promised to Adam and Eve. That is what is commanded unto us. That the wages of sin is death. This is the easy path, and it leads to destruction. So many get caught up in the love of this world. They get caught up in the joys of the world. And don't let people hide from them. Understand this. Understand that if you're going to get caught up in sin, sin has its physical pleasures upon this earth. If people didn't enjoy sin, they wouldn't be doing it. They wouldn't be getting caught up in being drunk. They wouldn't get caught up in sexual and moral life. They wouldn't get caught up in lying if there wasn't some advantage upon this earth, this physical, fleshly advantage that they would have. Once again, where does it lead? Once again, it's just a short time moment of a pleasure. It's not an eternal pleasure that we have if we remain on that bed. That's what we see here is it's called the love of the world. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the love of the flesh, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Once again, these things that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, says all these things, all these pleasures of the world, all these works of the flesh are passing away. Speaking of the day that God has set aside to destroy this world. Speaking of the time that God has set aside to destroy all things of this world, and the elements will be burned, melted up, there will be nothing left. So therefore, were those physical pleasures, the things of this world, the love of this world, will be gone. And then we'll be faced judgment for our actions. That's what the easy path means. The easy path is not the path that God has set up. And you need to count the cost. You need to consider that if you're thinking about becoming a Christian, that it is a difficult path. needs to be warned. It needs to be talked about. We need to understand that it is a difficult path that we're told about in Matthew chapter 7. A difficult path that few will find. I always find it interesting that the verse says you will find. It doesn't tell us how many will remain on that path. How many will end up at the end and get through the gate that God has set. Because it's a difficult path. How many more? Only few find this path. Few who truly seek and find the path. How much harder we got to work to remain faithful on this path. But the reward in the end. The reward is life. The reward in the end of this difficult path leads to life. An eternal life with God. It is worth giving up the pleasures of the world for an eternal pleasure in heaven, eternal joy with our Father up above. But it's going to be a difficult path. You have to be willing to suffer, willing to go through the hardship. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, if you will, turn all the way there. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. It reads here, it says, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What makes this path difficult? For one, as we read there in Matthew 7, it says, few who will find it. And if we refer that to what we talked about this morning in the lesson this morning, talking about our work, and the first point I made was that faith in itself is work. Because you have to work to find that faith of God. You have to be willing to search the Scriptures. You have to be willing to open it up and find the truth. Because as we read here in Ephesians 4, it says there is but one faith, one doctrine that God has given us, one teaching that Christ has shown us, one example that He led His life for us, one Christ, one church in which He has established. Now, imagine that and think about what Satan has done. Think about what Satan has done. Satan says, sure, there's only one church, and I can't get it out, and I can't destroy it. So he did the next best thing. He has created so many other churches, so many other doctrines, so many other teachings and faiths, so that we are going to have a difficult time finding the truth, finding the right path in which God has set for us. Just if I were to get, and this example I'm about to give, I've got an offer of another preacher. If I were to take a rock, and I were to give it to Ron, I would tell Ron he has to put it in this bucket, he cannot take it out of a bucket, and then I'm going to send everybody else out here to find that rock, but he has to hide it. How are you going to hide that rock? You can't take it out of the bucket. How do you hide that rock? You find as many other rocks as you can that look exactly like that one rock, and you put it in the bucket. It's the best way you can do it. It's the best possible way of hiding it if you can't take it out. And Satan can't take the Word of God out of this world. He can't destroy the church that God has established. So he set up all these other different teachings to try to throw everybody off. So the difficult path just to start to find. But understand, if you ask, it will be answered. If you knock at the door, God will answer. If you seek, you will find the truth. You have to truly desire to find the truth. That's the point. You can't go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and say, I just want to find someone that says it's okay for me to continue in this world of sin. For me to continue in the works of the flesh. You have to truly desire to find the faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. In Luke chapter 9, if you go along with me there. Luke chapter 9. And you read along with me in verse 58. Luke 9 and verse 58. Here it brings out, go ahead and start up in verse 57. Luke 9, starting verse 57. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Someone who's ready to say, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to follow my Savior. And what does Jesus answer here? Jesus answers in verse 58. He says, Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one has put his hands to the plow, looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus says here, it's a difficult path. You have to be willing to continue to push forward. And you have to understand that now everyone is going to accept you when you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Christ. He says the animals of this world have somewhere to go. Somewhere that they set up to go and sleep, go and rest, be at home, be at peace. He says, Jesus, the Son of Man, our Lord and Savior, didn't have anywhere to rest. Because people were not accepting his teaching. If they did not accept his teaching, they will not accept our teaching. 1 John 3 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. It says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Why? When you turn back to John chapter 15, you start there in verse 18. It goes forth and explains that. It says, because the world hated Christ first. If the world hated our teacher, it will hate us also. It's a difficult path. How many times throughout the New Testament do we see in one way or another that it tells us, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Count it all joy when you suffer in the name of the Lord. Why would he tell us that if we're not going to be persecuted? If it's going to be an easy path as we choose to follow our Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, you see that we're able to put on the armor of God. Once again, why do we need all this armor? Why do we need a shield? Why do we need to wear a helmet? Why do we need to put on the breastplate? Why do we need to shod our feet? Why? Because there is a spiritual war that is going on. And if you choose to obey the gospel, you become a soldier of Christ. A soldier of God. And you have to be prepared to fight these battles. Prepared to fight. Understanding that it's not going to be easy from this time forward. That Satan is out there trying to find a way to bring you down. It's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But we want to encourage any who's willing to take this step. Understands that it is going to be a difficult path. Understands the consequences of not going down this path. Because the easy path just leads to destruction. You can sit here and do nothing the rest of your life. If you choose to do nothing, that's how easy it is to make your life find its way to that punishment that God has set up. But if you're willing to take a stand, you're willing to come forward and confess your faith, willing to live and dedicate your life to Christ, he's willing to receive. We can help you in any way. Let it be known as we stand.
So pure. prepared this evening for those Christians who are unable to partake of it.